Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. JJ, if you put it on light number 4, and also turn down the bass and Gail's keyboard just a touch. I think there's a little buzz going on, and we might be blessed by not hearing that. There it is. Thank you, sir. And also, I want to let you know that the cake downstairs is also in celebration of Mary Jo's birthday, which is today. So, it's Tuesday? Oh.
Tuesday.
All right. I thought it was today. Okay. So we have celebration of tomorrow and the following day going on today. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? All right. Genesis chapter 17. If you're there, say amen. If you got your Bible, say got it. Nice. I like that. All right. Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, God also said to Abraham, notice we got a new name there, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down and laughed. He said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son. You will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you got some big plans for each one of us, Lord. Lord, that you call us out of darkness and into light on purpose. And I thank you, Lord, for the descendants, Lord, that would come after us, Lord, and that would fulfill that plan. I thank you for my son that's here. I thank you for Tommy's children, Lord, and grandchildren that have come in this morning, Lord, to bless him. Amen. And Lord, we come in here to bless you as our Father in heaven. Lord, we give you praise this morning for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. I mentioned my son Joe, and he has a big choice to make. And it revolves around an offer his uncle has made to him. Actually, an offer my uncle has made to him. When I was 7 years old, oh, that is so long ago, I went to go work for my uncle on his ranch. Seven. I drove truck at seven. Not a lot, but I did. I drove tractor at 8 and windrower at 10. And my uncle says, are you kidding me? No way, I would have never done that. You were too young. I said, no, Uncle, you were doing that. So anyway, he has offered to buy Joe a plane ticket and fly him to Nevada the week before Easter. And he'd be back in time for church on Easter. But he wants to check it out. Joe can check him out, and he can check Joe out. And he's lined up to meet, so Joe can meet a welder so that he can come up and work for him this summer. And Joe would learn how to weld. And that is on Joe's list of manly things that I want to learn how to do. And Joe would also get paid. And that's just on a list that he just wants to have happen to him. And so, and that's a good thing, except for if he does that, he won't be able to play football. And so there is this balancing act. I have this to do, and I can't do both. And as we study Abraham's life, we see that he is also in this balancing act, and he balances the plans that he has in contrast with the plan that God has for him. And it is indeed a story of a man who would find his faith. It is the story of a man who becomes the father of the faith. We have spent 4 weeks in Genesis. And we got new bulletins out today, and you'll see that this picture is on the front, and we will spend the rest of March with Abraham as he finds faith. We started 4 weeks ago with the call of Abram. We'll see today his name was Abram and it's changed to Abraham. So you'll hear him referred to as both. And it was in chapter 12 of Genesis that he was called out of Ur. I take that the hometown of Ur of the Chaldeans. And he was 50 years old. It took him 25 years to get to the place where God had called him. Hardly snappy in his response. Can I get a witness on that? God next speaks to Abram at the end of Genesis 13. We have no record of any conversation of Abram and God between the beginning of chapter 12 and the end of chapter 13, which comprises 25 years. And realistically, at the end of chapter 13, Abram has finally arrived at the place where God has called him to. And he has finally left his father's household and divided from Lot. So finally, he has come into compliance. Finally, he has become obedient to what God has called him to do. And quite frankly, God sees no need to speak to Abraham until he does. It's like, you haven't done the last thing yet. Why do I need to tell you what I want you to do next? And there is this gap that is going on in Abram's life for 25 years because of his lack of obedience. Abraham is now on track. God has spoken to him and said, lift up your eyes and I'm going to give you all that you see. And he has come out of Egypt. God has delivered him. And these four Babylonians, we took a look at the four Babylonian kings who were raiding and pillaging down the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they come down to the Red Sea and scoop back up to Kadesh and they end up picking up Lot, who has pitched his tent towards Sodom. And Abram is so pumped with the presence of God, we find in chapter 14 that he raises his hand and takes an oath to God and says, God, I'm going to go after these guys with your help. I'm trusting in you, and I'm going to go rescue Lot. And he convinces three Amorite friends, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner, to go with him. And here's a man who is pumped full of the presence of God, and he finds victory. And he comes back victorious and he is lit up with the purpose and the plan of God. Now we come to chapters 15, 16, and 17 today. And interestingly enough, after all this, we find Abram off track with God. Distracted by stuff going on around him. He is facing doubt and he is facing disobedience. And if you are going to get on track with God, you will have to push past the distractions in your life. Amen? Amen? We'll take a look at divine direction. I read from you from chapter 17. This is where we're going to end up. We are going to go back to verse 15. I'm going to read for you the first six verses there. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid. Say that with me. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And after all that happens, Abram gets a message from the Lord. And the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Fear not. And after he comes out of Egypt, and after he takes care of the four Babylonian kings, you would think that the message might be, hey, don't get too full of yourself here. Are you tracking with me on that? I mean, Abram is coming from great victories. And the message that God gives him, don't be afraid. And you have to ask yourself, what might Abram be afraid of? And he's beginning to doubt the veracity, the ability of God to come through on his plan. He's saying, God, what can you give me? I have got no son. You have promised me to be the father of many nations, and I've got no kid. I'm 75 years old. I've been 25 years on the way here, and I'm not seeing it. He's going, I'm seeing your hand revealed in my life. I'm seeing your power revealed around me, but I'm not seeing anything related to the promise of a son. What does it matter how much you give me? What does it matter how much you do? And it would appear that Abraham is expressing some doubt in the plan of God. Maybe you can relate. Notice here that God is not, does not squash him like a bug. Do you feel that you can express doubt to God? God, are you really real? Can't say that. God might squash me like a bug. You know, lightning might come. Well, if lightning came down from heaven, kind of be an affirmation that he's real, right? Could you strike him so that I can know? Notice God does not strike him, but speaks to him, and he says, go outside. Take a look at the stars. And you think, you might think, big whoop. But what's the Bible say? Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So he says, go outside, check out what I made. And it so strikes Abram's heart, he says, man, it's not in the text, but I think he speaks to himself, and he says, if God can make that, God can give me a son. And the Bible says that Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. No more doubt, no more insecurity. God, we are on track. Amen? Amen? Paul even quotes that. Abram believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness in the book of Romans. A high spot. Amen? Amen? All right, let's continue on. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to take possession of it. But Abram, the man who had just expressed such great confidence and faith and belief in God, says, how can I know? Paul didn't record that statement. He says, Abraham said, Oh, mighty God, how can I know you're going to come through? How can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, that's a cow, one-year-old cow, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old. Sorry, heifer's 3 years old. But a heifer, my uncle knows about cows and I worked with him. A heifer is a cow that has not given birth yet to a calf, okay? So 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon, Abram brought all these to him. And you know what? I'm seeing in Abram, it is easy to slip back into doubt. And maybe you have seen God work in your life, and you find yourself at times slipping back, saying, God, are you still here? Anybody else feel that? God, where are you at in all this? And he voices it again. How can I know? He had just believed God. Now he's doubting. Maybe you can relate. Abram's saying, really? Really? I'm not saying it. It's too big for me. Apparently, as it's recorded so much right here in chapter 15 of Genesis, if you doubt God, God would have you approach Him with that doubt. Don't swallow it. Don't deny it. Own it. Move into it and let the Lord address it. Amen. Are you tracking with me? Because, see, there are answers. You got doubts about God. You got doubts about His Word. Ask me. Ask Pastor Paul. Ask Pastor Dave. Ask Pastor Scott. If you speak Spanish, ask Pastor Ramiro. There are answers to your questions, but there's so many people who never find the answers. They go, oh, I can't doubt God. Yes, you can. You take a look. David, King David, a man after God's own heart, doubted God. Psalm 22, 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus on the cross quotes this. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer by night and am not silent. There is a man whose doubt is recorded in the text. If you doubt the Lord this morning, He can handle your doubt. He does not shush you off. He does not squash you like a bug. He says, come to me, my child. I have people put around you that can answer your questions. God meets Abram in his doubt. He says, bring me these animals. And Abram cuts them up. And the significance of this act is lost a little bit in its obscurity. But apparently back in the day, this is some form of contract. And so Abram's kind of doing his end of the contract, of his covenant contract, and birds come down, he chases them off, but he goes into this trance at night, and this smoking fire pot, you know, this kind of floats through, and there's this blazing torch in the middle of it, and it goes through, and God says, hey, I am right here. And the Lord gives Abram something to grab onto in the midst of his doubt. Amen? Amen? We have an Abram right here. Mr. Roki, come on up here, would you? Yes. JJ, I need you to look at me. Take a look at this mic. Now, we talked a little bit before, but Roki, did you calculate how long you've been coming here? Like 10 years?
I've been coming here over a little over 10 years since my kids were, Jared and Justin.
They were little.
Little.
And they used to beat up on Joe way back when.
Throw rocks at each other. And just like, are you serious?
And you can relate to Abram. Couple steps forward, couple steps back. It's a battle in life.
Well,
amen.
Yeah, when Pastor Bob started this series, I was like, I'm hearing from God again. But my story starts back.
Wait. Let me set it up a little bit. Wednesday, you said. Sorry. Let me set it up. Wednesday, you said, can you pray for me tonight? Because I got a job interview tomorrow.
And the job, what was amazing about the job interview was that I didn't even apply for the position. It was recommended for me to do it. And I didn't think I was going to have the interview the next day. So I was coming back from vacation, and I'm going to start from 2013 now, right?
Wait, one other thing. Last weekend, you're going to talk about some challenges.
Talk about everything.
And last weekend, you had massive challenge, but massive breakthrough, even on Wednesday night,
yes.
Massive breakthrough. And he says, I need you to pray for me for this job. And we prayed. We laid hands on him, and he was a little, man, what's going on? I said, wait, you asked me to pray. He thought it was something else. Now, bro, go ahead.
All right, my journey started 2013 of last year in January. Just like Abram, God wasn't speaking to me, and I wasn't speaking to him either. Then August, when we started going down to the orphanage, I'm overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed all week. God speaks to me. In the midst of a place where I don't even want to be, he speaks to me. I'm just going to cut to the chase. He says, Roki, you will die for me. I was like, whoa, I don't want to die for you. I didn't know if he meant physically or spiritually. And now I know it's spiritually. Because with me, with a lot of pride and all Roki stuff, it's tough to handle Roki alone. And then I'm just going to skip to the chase. Pastor Bob said this past weekend had issues with family. And I wasn't wanting to budge. but I had to in order to have breakthrough. My budget gave in. I shared some information with my accountability partner, and God just broke loose. Come Tuesday, I'm recommended for a job that's going to pay me 15% more in my pay, and it's not temporary. It's a full-time job. With that it doesn't even stop there. We're in the process, taking the steps to buy a house. I'm like, Lord, I don't even have that. And he says, don't worry, I got your back. Yesterday, I woke up to pray, and thinking about Pastor Bob's sermon. And after I was done praying, God says, I heard him say this to me for the first time. Rocky, I love you. Amen. I just sobbed. I never heard that before. And yesterday, I heard it. And if you're in doubt, don't doubt him. Because since yesterday, I'm not going to doubt him at all. It's the first time I see him say, I love you. I love you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. He kind of got off track a little bit. I got to tell you about the job. He went in on Thursday morning. He thought, they weren't even going to look in-house for this position. He was off for a couple days last week. In his absence, people were talking him up, saying, take a look at Rocky for this. He's saying, okay, I'm going to get this interview. Maybe it'll be in a couple of weeks. He gets the interview on Thursday morning. They talk to him. He says, yeah, it'll probably be a couple of weeks until I find out if I got this job. He goes back to his site. By the time he gets back, they have already decided that he is the man for the job. Amen? Amen. The 15% increase in his wages is the minimum that he would get in this new position, and there's no stating that he would receive the minimum. The house, all that stuff, God has revealed himself in a mighty way to a man who's been broken in his heart, grabbed onto him in much the same way that Abram does. Amen. Abram gets this vision of God and says, okay, God, no more doubts. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going. Genesis, now we go to chapter 16. Okay, so there's the 15. A lot of, you can read it. A lot of the second half of chapter 15 is about the offering and all this stuff. So, 16, 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Sarai steps ahead. Notice the title of this point is Abram takes a detour. We move from doubt into confidence, and all of a sudden he is distracted again, and he is going to make a poor choice. That poor choice comes from his wonderful wife Sarai, who is tired of waiting. They have received the call of God 25 years. She is 75 years old. He is 75 years old. Still no child. She's barren. It's hard to live barren. Amen? Comes up with a plan. Now, we know it's not going to work. It doesn't work, folks. Let me just let you know. I read the book. It doesn't work. But I'm reminded. See, Abram is meeting with God, hearing from God, but he's listening to his wife. There is a similar situation back in Genesis chapter 3 where Adam is hearing from God, but starts listening to his wife. Now, my wife has a lot of great counsel. She has a lot of wisdom. But there are times when the man has to be the priest of the home. And when the men don't fill their shoes, we take a detour and we get off track. She says, I have my servant Hagar. Now, this is Hebrew. And this is Hagar, I think she gets a bad rap. Because, when you think of Hagar, you think of hag, right? I'm thinking we could kind of urbanize her name. And we could maybe call her Hagathema. And maybe get a little bit different picture. Because it is Sarai who is old. And it is her young Egyptian handmaid who is going to bear Abram children. And we see here a tie back to that other poor choice that Abram made in going down to Egypt and lying on his wife. Because if they hadn't even gone down to Egypt, no way are they going to have this little handmaid hanging around. Are you tracking with me on this? So now, it is not in the text. He's not called Hagathema. But for the sake of this message, she's going to be Hagathema. And you might think of this rather than that. Because it will have an impact on how you think about the plan. Sarai says, let's make a change. She says, you know what? I'm tired of waiting on God. Maybe you can relate to that. You know what? God has made a promise, and I'm going to go ahead and fulfill that promise the way I want to fulfill that promise. Anybody relate to that kind of sentiment? Sometimes we just step right out, step right up. Tired of waiting on the promise of God? Make her own way. We find out this is not at all what God has in mind. Abram says, well, if I must, if that's what you want, hon, I don't want to disappoint you in this. And he goes and he sleeps with Hagathema. And things go downhill from here. Back in Genesis, the Bible says, beginning of Genesis, man would be united with his wife and they'd become one flesh. And when you get out of that, even back in Genesis, back through the whole Testament, they get out of that a lot. And it always goes downhill. Amen? Amen? Got to stay on track. Stay on track with the Lord. All right, let's continue going. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. That means she got pregnant. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress, who was Sarai. She's saying, I don't need you anymore. I got the hookup with Abram. Then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. And he was dumb. He was straight out dumb. Men, don't be dumb. Women, don't put up with dumbness from your man. Amen? I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between me and you. This is Sarai talking. Your servant is... I don't know where the comma is on. No, that's actually Sarah. Your servant is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think is best. And then Sarai mistreated Hagathema. So she fled from her. Problems come when we get off track with God. Problems come when we get out of the plan of God. And what's happening is these two women are fighting, and you see Abram being the man of God. No, you see Abram saying, hey, do whatever you want, hon. She's your servant. Do whatever you see fit. And he is checking out. It is hard to be the man of God when you are in the wrong. Oh, let me say that again. It is hard to be the man of God when you are in the wrong. Amen. Thank you for that, gentlemen. Yes. We have got to have standards of righteousness in our home so that we can stand for righteousness. And even when poor choices come from within the home, we can still stand for righteousness. And you will gain a following. This degrades into a struggle between these two women. I cannot imagine anybody being happy here. We see a change in Sarai. We see her move from this wonderful lady of faith in Egypt to this bitter woman who is mistreating her servant in the land of God. You get off the plan of God and things just seem to spin out of control. Can happen. Don't want to wait on God. Lisa and I have been here 15 years. And in that 15 years, we have done all kinds of outreach. I started soccer league. Were you a coach? You were a coach, right?
I was.
Yeah. We had like 300 kids. And my kids played. It was great fun. We're going to reach a community. We had sign-ups right here. They said, tell pastor buddies, yeah, but we signed them up right at the altar in the church. I don't know that we saw one family come to the church from that. We would do Christmas outreach with a big old, we'd have 800 kids out here on the asphalt of the basketball courts. And we would have a gospel presentation and music and presents and all kinds of stuff. We did it like 5 or 6 years in a row. And last several years, we had 700-800 kids per year. I don't know we ever saw anybody come to the church from those outreaches. We would work with the sober living homes in the neighborhood. And we saw some guys come to church. Aroki almost killed one for approaching his sister one time. Aroki wasn't having that. It was one of his times he was distant from God. And that guy was going to get either real close or far away from God in Roki's eyes. But, you know, in all this stuff, and man, those guys were an incredible load. Incredible load. And I remember talking to God saying, God, I am so tired. And it's like he spoke to my heart and he said, why don't you quit trying to do my job? He says, I'll save them. You train them. You've been spending all your time trying to save them. That's my job. You just handle the ones I bring to you. I'm like, yes, sir. Sometimes we don't want to wait on God. Sometimes we want to go ahead in our own strength, and we'll get off track. Amen? All right. God gives Abram direction. Now we're back up to chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Whoo! He says, walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. God speaks to Abram. Abram gets divine direction. There is a 13-year gap here. Abram is 99 years old. Time to get back on track, God says. Trying to get back on in the plan. Sometimes you feel like Abram or Roki, and you were just off track with God. God is not speaking. You are distracted, disobedient, doubtful. Sometimes we will make decisions that push back the plan of God in our lives. Ask yourselves, why a 13-year gap? Well, because of Sarai's idea and Abram's buying into that idea, he now has an infant son named Ishmael. Now, if you make a poor choice, God does not just come into your life and say, oh, the ramifications of that choice are now gone. And so God says, oh, that's the way it's going to be. You and Hagar and Sarai, well, now you've got this boy who's got to be raised up. And again, we had a 25-year gap before the time he went, by the time he went, got the call from Ur of the Chaldeans, by the time he got to the land of God. Now we have another 13-year gap why this little boy grows up to be a 13-year-old young man who is stepping into adulthood. All right? And what you see is this responsibility of Abram has now been met, and God says, are you ready to get on track now? Are you ready to push through the distractions now? Because here's my covenant I'm going to make with you. I am making you. In fact, he says, I have made you. You are already the father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm going to. He says, I have made you. And Abram's going, okay. And he says, this is going to be the sign Because God makes a covenant. He makes you an offer. You accept it. But there is a response. The response that God speaks to Abram about in Genesis chapter 17, as he gives him a new name, is the covenant of circumcision. Now, I'm telling you, as a man, this is a biggie. That if anything is going to cause you to take a step back, it might be this one. He gets a new name, fine, we're going to do circumcision. And you know what he says? Fine. He says, every male born to you, every slave, everybody who is in your household, in your culture, they will be circumcised or they will have no part of me. It is a display of the fact that you receive this covenant. And amazingly, there's no 25-year gap here. There's no 13-year gap here. There's no gap at all because the Bible says that Abram went out in complete obedience and circumcised himself, his child Ishmael, and every man in his household. God says, here we go. So you're going to be on track with God. You've got to push through the distractions. You got to move through doubt. You got to voice it, speak it, move through it, ask somebody. There's answers for what you've got. And you got to be obedient. And you just move right on. See, here we see God moving right on. This whole the 10 verses in between are all talking about the circumcision. And he says here, this is what we started off with. That Sarai is part of the plan. God also said to Abraham, as far as Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai, which means my princess. You're now to call her Sarah, which is the princess. And she is going to have an increased role. She says, I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of keep people will come from her. And I want to let you know that this is where the real miracle happens. Because Abram lives to be 175, and he has children all the way up until he's 140. Sarah is where God does the miracle. And it foretells a miraculous birth that happens 2,000 years later. Not an old woman who has a child, but a young virgin who has a child. Amen. The child of promise. The child that is promised through the text and by the prophets, one that was coming, a messenger, the Messiah that would come and lead God's people. Amen?
Amen.
And Abram is God describes his promise and his plan to Abraham. And he says, she's going to have a child. And he laughs, really? She's going to have a child, really? And he says, yeah, man, this is what I'm going to do. And he says, you got Ishmael, and that's fine. I'm going to bless him. But the child of promise is Isaac. He's the one that I am going to consider the line of promise, and through him will your lineage be blessed. And Abraham's response is, can't we just do Ishmael? I mean, he loves his son. I mean, Tommy, you got people here, you love them? Love my son? See, that child of promise comes 2,000 years later, and there's still people say, can I just do it my way? God, can't you just bless my plan? And God says, no, that's not what I'm offering here. I'm offering you to be a part of my plan. And so often we say, nah, God, why don't you just be part of mine? I'm fine with Ishmael. Why don't you just make it fine? And God says, that's not the way I roll. You can join me. I'm not going to join you. Abram is finding new faith, the faith. We see in the coming weeks that the gaps diminish. They're still there. God doesn't need perfection from you, but he is looking for progress. Yeah. You know, progress on the track of God, you got to move through distractions. Lisa, you want to come up? So I'm wondering where you're at today. Are you in a gap? God's silent? Are you in doubt? Are you in disobedience? Because today it can end. It ended that day when God revealed himself to Abram and said, you got a brand new name. God has a new name for you today. God, Bible says that Jesus has a name for you that nobody else knows. And it'll just be between you and him. And you come in here this morning and you have not heard the voice of God and you are wondering and doubting if he's even real. Today, it can all change. He has speak to you today. Perhaps he's already speaking to you in a way that I love what Roki. Did you love what Roki had to say?
Amen.
God said, I love you, my son. Never heard that before. Tied up with pride and arrogance and the battle. What are you tied up with? Doubt? Disbelief? Disobedience? Despair? It can change today. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, and some of us just moving ahead, Lord, as we see Abraham moving ahead in faith and getting a new name, Abraham, the father of many nations. Lord, I want to be part of your plan, Lord. I want you to call me out of darkness, Lord. I want you to guide my steps, Lord. I want to know you in a mighty way, Lord. I sacrifice my plan. Abram had to give up Ishmael, his son. There are things in our lives that can create gaps, things that we're holding on to, like Roki's pride, that we love more than God, that we don't want to give away and hold us back from his plan. And the Lord says, I got a promise for you. I have my son a promise, but you have to give up that which is holding you back. And I don't know what is holding you back this morning, but the Lord does. And he's been speaking it to you for the last 40 minutes. He might have been speaking it to you for the last 40 days or the last 4 or 5 years, saying, is it today? Are you ready yet? Because you can be part of my plan. I'll let you in. Lord, we come before you this morning, and perhaps the Lord is speaking directly to your heart. And you say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, I need to be forgiven. Lord, of the choices that I've made, Lord, I have rebelled against you. I have been in a state of rebellion. I feel like Abram. 25 years, put you on hold. 13 years, put you on hold. I made some poor choices, Lord. And in the midst of those choices, I want to sacrifice and surrender and give you my life. You in a gap today? You need to speak to God. The Lord's right here in this room. Two or three are gathered. I'm right here with you. Lord, speak into your heart. You need to move out of that gap. You need to move past your distraction, get on back on track, or even get on track with him for the first time. Slide your hand up and say, that's me, Lord. I hear your voice this morning. Wow. Wow. Lots of people. I see all these hands over here. You can put them down. I shared on last Monday at Celebrate Recovery when I got saved. Pastors did something just like this, and I just thought, no way. And he said, I'm going to pause for just a moment more. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart and you did not put your hand up before, time to step out of the gap and into the plan of God. Just slide your hand up where you're at. Didn't put it up before. Didn't put it up before. Right back here, I see that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's some lady up here wants prayer. Maybe you would join her. We're going to stand and sing. And I invite you to come forward. I'll anoint you with oil. Moving past distraction into the plan of God. Amen? Let's sing. Worship team's going to come.